Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello, Chicago!
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll bid farewell to music industry giant Seymour Stein and hear from some of our listeners. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, new under-the-radar music you need to hear. Buried Treasures.
Greg, it is time again for one of our Buried Treasures episodes. We love doing these. Records that are flying under the mainstream radar that we want to make our listeners aware of. I've always got a list going. I know you've always got a list going. It's always a labor-intensive day when I go through the 50 contenders to find my four. I'm sure it's the same for you, but I've got some good ones, but you're going to lead us off. Why don't you give us a buried treasure?
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I want to start off with an artist named Sunny War that I've been following for a number of years. She is a Nashville-based singer-songwriter, an ace guitar player as well. Working in that Americana vein, Sydney Lindella Ward became Sunny War when she started recording in 2014. Each record has been an expansion of her sound, and I think she really nailed it with the latest run called Anarchist Gospel. It's a full-length record. She's blending a lot of different styles of music. I mean, you know, blues, folk, and gospel, you'd sort of expect to go with the terrain. She's also a big fan of 80s hardcore, you know, and she and you can hear elements of that as well. There's a disruptive element to her music that I think is really cool. The track I'm going to play is going to be a little bit more, not show elements of that, but I think it does reflect some of the musicians that she's working with. I mean, she's extremely well-respected, even though she's not a huge mainstream artist by any stretch. But you've got people like David Rawlings on this record, you know, Gillian Welch's collaborator. Alison Russell's on this record. Dennis Crouch, great band that was assembled in the studio for this particular recording. And the track I'm going to play is called No Reason, from Sunny War on Sound Opinions. Is Sunny War with a track called No Reason from her new album Anarchist Gospel. Well-named album, I would say. It pretty much nails what you're going to hear.
I love that track. I love the rest of the EP, Greg. Is it, you know, so good. It was one of those that made me say, where's this artist been my whole life?
Yeah.
I love when we can still do that for
absolutely
each other. I am going to go next to a Chicago scene mainstay. Jay Nimi is a longtime member of Ashtray Boy. They're in their 25th year. He's an author. He wrote one of those 33 and a third books on REM's Murmur. He's a great follow on social media. He's a real force of nature and a great guitarist. But he has this other band, a trio called Man's Body, that has put out a second full album, A Set of Steak Knives. He sent me a vinyl of it. Love having that. And in this band, he collaborates with Greg Franco, who's based in L.A., sort of the Jay Nemi of the L.A. scene, and Marco Obeya, young multi-instrumentalist. The press release came from my buddy Howard Wolfing. He says it's soft punk. I would say it's very much art rock or post-punk in that Chicago tradition. Listen to the guitar solo, the way that it explodes in this song that I'm going to play for you, Dark Horse Matter. Just absolutely great stuff. And I've got a lot of guitar solo wow moments among my buried treasures this time around. Man's Body. It's a Man's Body, Dark Horse Matter. Congrats, Jay Nemi. I don't think I've ever talked about you on the show, and I'm long overdue for doing that.
Yeah, Jay Nemi has made some really fine music over the years. I love that sort of shadow vocal in there. It sounds like a female singer backing up the vocals. But I just love the way the dynamics of the vocalists worked in that song, and that sort of stabbing guitar, you know,
it's great.
Throughout, you know, very, there's a lot of cool things happening, unexpected things, which is always, it's always fun to have a track that is not so predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Next artist I want to play, kind of a kindred spirit in a way to Sonny War. I think I went down a rabbit hole one day and discovered some stuff that I had missed.
You followed the algorithms?
Yeah, I don't know if it was an algorithm or it had to be something similar to that where artists were sort of grouped together. But again, one of the artists that keeps coming up when we're talking about an alternative view of what's going on in Nashville, and I'm thinking also of Marissa Moss's great book, you know, about female artists and how they're almost a subculture that's further subdivided. If you happen to be a woman of color, you know, you're just not going to get a shot. And Miko Marx is a classic example of that. Born in Flint, Michigan, attended Grambling State, started her career, you know, as a country artist. She loved country music and put out a couple of records in 2005 and 2007 and just gave up after that. No traction. Nobody wanted to hear it. You know, it just was not happening, and because she didn't fit into, you know, the stereotypical country female paradigm, right? Mm-hmm. She basically abandoned music as a career in 2007, went out to the West Coast, and made a comeback in 2021 with a record called Our Country, very well named, with a band called The Resurrectors, very well-named band. Here I am. I'm back. I'm going to give this another shot. Mm. Our Country got noticed. First new album in over a decade, and earned her a slot at the Grand Ole Opry,
wow. You know,
which was a major moment for her in last year. Played it for the first time, and now she's back with a new record, Feel Like Going Home. Straight-up country soul, you know? Country, blues, soul, gospel, but, you know, she's a country soul artist. There's a lot of church in this as well. I think Trouble is kind of a churchy rave up
mm-hmm.
song, and with some blues harmonica in there as well.
Yeah, so
I
was
different
listening,
elements, you know?
I was smelling the smoking barbecue out back as I was listening to this.
No,
track.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Trouble, of course, is she's, you know, quoting John Lewis's Good Trouble, you
Good
know,
trouble.
The civil rights motto in many ways. A great track from Miko Marx and the Resurrectors called Trouble, from her new album, Feel Like Going Home, on SoundCloud. That's Trouble from Meeko Marx and the Resurrectors.
Love that country soul, Greg. I'm going to a different country. I'm going all the way to Australia for a track by Jen Cloher, C-L-O-H-E-R. This is actually Jen's fifth album. I am the river, the river is me. I was unaware of her work before this, but she co-founded the Milk, with the exclamation point, Milk label with Courtney Barnett. We've heard of her.
Yeah, we do.
Down in Australia. Jen is an LGBTQ plus artist of Maori descent and a big political advocate for the rights of the Maori people in Australia. You know, the politics run through her music, but so does an intense personal sensuality. The line in this song, My Witch, about your head between my thighs kills me. It's this cool electro-pop seduction that then, I told you, I promised you a lot of weird guitar this installment. There is this elephant guitar, right? I haven't heard elephant guitar this good, like the honking of an elephant, since King Crimson.
I thought it was like a synthesizer or something. That's a guitar, huh?
I think it's a guitar. It's one of those things that it's like a beast of its own.
Okay.
I apologize, Jen. If you want to call us up, if I'm crediting guitar for synthesizer or vice versa, I'd love to chat with you on Sound Opinions. Because I've been going back and listening to the other albums. They're all this good. This is from her fifth, called My Witch, Jen Cloher.
Show me with a look what you're gonna do now, honey, there ain't no shame. You're getting what you want, gotta give it a name. It's more than a feeling. Baby, when you take it slow, I don't wanna miss any part of this move. It's more than a feeling.
Man, My Witch. So you heard that elephant too?
Oh, I did. That was the coolest part of the song, I thought. You know, and I got to tell all our listeners who are thinking about submitting music to Sound Opinions for consideration. If you put a variation of witch or sorceress or warlock or coven in your song title, you're going to get at least one listen from Jim DeRogatis. That's all I can say.
I listen to anything that, you know, here's the only thing I don't listen to. Dear Greg, I'm sending this to you for your consideration.
Right.
Maybe you'll play it on Sound Opinions or write about it in the Tribune.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, those are the ones I don't listen to. If you can't even
get send it to me then.
We're on the interwebs, you know. But I listen to most everything. But you're right. There's a couple of key words, which psychedelic soul, any psychedelic in front of any genre, psychedelic polka,
acid.
I'll listen to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We have one of our producers, ace producers, Sol Delgadillo, with her buried treasure. Sol, what have you got for us?
Hello. I chose Flycatcher's Always Selfish. It's off of their new EP Stunt, which as of when we're recording this is not out yet, but I am very excited to listen to it.
So it's just this single in advance, Sol.
Yeah, so it's a single that I've been really loving. And I'm a big fan of songs that sort of transport you to a different place. And this song kind of reminded me of the type of music that I would listen to going on CTA to Columbia and just like, you know, being an adult for the first time, if that makes sense. Like being out on my own and like going to school, but also not having to do anything afterwards.
See, so you know me, Sol. I don't work out. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it's not part of my lifestyle, right? But this hyper energetic electronic, I mean, it made me want to go work out. I'm worried about myself.
Mm-hmm. And when I say that it reminded me of the music that I would listen to on CTA, it was very much just like, it made me feel like the main character in my story, where I just sort of got lost in it, and it made me want to dance. But obviously, you're not going to be dancing on public transportation.
We got some dancing on public transportation in another pick coming up.
Oh, yeah, no, I did see that. I was going to say, Sol, that I don't know how you could not move, because when I listened to this track, I was so like, I go, this is when I have that extra unnecessary cup of Java in the morning. This is how my body feels. Mm-hmm. Like I am just like, you know, a bundle of jittery energy. Where do I put all this?
So totally wired, as the fall would say.
Exactly.
All right. Always selfish. Flycatcher is the band, Always Selfish. Good high energy pick there, Soul.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll share more of our recent buried treasures and hear more from our production staff on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
All good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know when you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we're sharing some of our latest batch of buried treasures, new under-the-radar tunes you need to hear. Let's throw it to our producer, Andrew Gill. Mr. Gill, I promised the listeners another song with dancing on public transportation, and gee, you got one.
Yes. My pick this time is Jim Legacy. The song is Old Place. It's a single he's put out. I think people are anticipating an album sometime this year, but there's no announcement yet. But Jim Legacy, I got to get the spelling out there. Legacy is the spelling.
Well, how else would you spell it?
Not sure why, but I came across this track because friend of the show, Lior Galil, tweeted a link to this video. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about. He was like, this is going to be my favorite album of the year, probably. So I was like, all right, I better listen. And I saw the video for this song, which is, you know, a minute and a half is the whole song, mm-hmm. basically. And it's this young 20s South London rapper. But the track sounds like it's an American football outtake or some like twinkly emo acoustic guitar.
It's a strange hybrid there, yeah.
Yeah, but you watch the video and it seems like the most natural thing in the world. It's just it's him with a bunch of his friends getting on the public transit in London.
Yeah, the tube.
And just like the tube, just hyping each other like crazy, like dancing, taking over a car of the train. But it's like introspective guitar and like croony kind of vocals. But it's just got a lot of joy in it. And the vibe is just so good. And it just feels natural. And my comment back to Lior was that the Kinsella brothers are going to be out of business with this guy on the scene. It's like he is just doing what this music always should have been, I feel like. You know, it's like brief and to the point. It's joyful, but introspective. And yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't get enough of it. So
good stuff, Andrew. Why don't you give us the title one more time?
Yeah, Jim Legacy, and the song is Old Place.
I know I probably shouldn't take you back. Since I've been broke, you didn't want to hold me down to care for me. So if you came back in my life, I had to decide whether I want. you to stay or turn away.
That's Jim Legacy with Old Place. And of course, I do have to acknowledge this guy is very popular among a certain segment of music listeners. He's not hurting for listeners by any means, but I just thought our listeners might not come across him.
He was buried until you and Lior unburied him for me.
Yeah, but he's you know, he is one to watch. Mm-hmm. He may blow up. He might be one of those names you wouldn't have recognized on the Lollapalooza or Coachella lineup next year, mm-hmm. but maybe now you will.
Well, so. I love that track, and then I was glad you directed us to the video because that reminded me a lot of the early videos that Chief Keef was putting out in Chicago before he became famous, those very street heavy yeah. ones with his crew, and there was a joy. Mm-hmm. You know, drill music gets this, it's sort of typecast as this very down thing, you know, about the very darkest sides of street life. But those early Chief Keef videos were joyous, and this one combines that. And there's also, from what I understand, yeah. there's some drill samples on this song.
Yeah.
So he's combining definitely. These different styles in a really fun way. I had a big smile on my face when I got done
but
watching
it. But he's not waving any guns.
No, he's
thankfully.
Not. Well, they weren't waving any guns in those early Chief Keef stuff either, you know?
There's a line about weapons that is sampled underneath all the emo yeah. crooning. So, but it is also like two Midwestern, American Midwest styles of music, emo and drill music,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that are being interpreted by a South London dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's great.
And then, you know, hip-hop like this is about community, and the artist that I wanted to highlight next is also about a community. Kate Fagan, I just wanted to give a shout out to her. Not all of our buried treasures are from brand new artists. They're sometimes buried because they've been made by an artist many years ago and are finally seeing the light of day yet again. This is an example of that. Anybody who was in Chicago during the early 80s knows who Kate Fagan is. She was a key member of the Chicago underground scene and helped build that scene when she came here, moved here from New York in the late 70s. The track that I want to play was her first single. She was a total DIY artist back in the day, self-released this record, and it became sort of an underground hit. People may know her best from a band called Heavy Manners, which was a biracial ska band in Chicago. We went and saw them many, many times. Great dance band, kind of got that vibe with a sort of a political edge to a lot of the lyrics. Kate got her start with this song writing about the scene that she had just left, the one in New York. The club scene there, to her mind, was this sort of fake glamour kind of scene. She despised the sort of emphasis on fashion and how you looked and the whole idea of, you know, cocaine being the cool thing that everybody had to use. She was sort of poking fun at it in this particular track, and also with a little bit of edge to it as well. But it really put her on the map early on and in Chicago, and she had a great run there. Now it's finally being re-released with some additional music that she put out during that era. And again, if you want to learn about what was happening in Chicago during that very vibrant period, this is a great entryway into that era. Kate Fagan with I Don't Want to Be Too Cool on Sound Opinions. Bad Kate, you are cool. You always were.
I love this track too.
Kate Fagan
is I don't want to be too cool. Right. The coolest people are the people who aren't trying to be cool. Greg, you were talking about Kate being a veteran. You were talking about Miko Marx with that country soul sound. I've got another veteran who's working the Americana tradition out of New Orleans. Jen Howard has just released an album called Valiant Women. She has been making music almost her entire lifetime down in New Orleans, a staple of that scene. For a while, she was a vocalist, co-songwriter, co-founder of a group called Project NIM, which gave us three future members of The National. She has shared a stage with many, many great New Orleans musicians. She is considering this a career reintroduction, a restart, a reboot, as the kids like to say. A Phoenix rising story to self-possession and artistic autonomy is how she has described Valiant Women. And I think when you hear this kind of sassy blues and those great horns in this track, Better Than You Think, the music says that, and the lyrics say that, too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a line in there about self-help books. Who are you kidding, right? In other words, things are not as bad as many people go around moaning about. There's a lot of things to get upset about in the world, right? But if New Orleans can come back, if a woman of a certain age can reinvent herself and feel like I'm just starting out again, you know, we can overcome the challenges, the hurdles, at least when we are kicked in the butt by horns as cool as these. Better Than You Think from Jen Howard. Better Than You Think, Jen Howard. Whole album's great, Greg.
Well, you know, you sold me at soul horns. You know, yeah. Just like one of those things that is just you know, it, when it's done right, it's a glorious sound, and it's definitely channeling that in a very cool way.
And New Orleans, you know, does it right.
You can't go wrong with that. Absolutely. Let's go to Alex Claiborne, another one of our producers, who is a brilliant avatar of pop music. I mean, you know, she's our go-to on what's happening on the pop scene. So, Alex, I don't want to typecast you too much.
Well, yeah, because she's not going there this time.
That's right. Well, you know, she surprises us at every turn. What can I say? Alex, take it away. What's your buried treasure?
I still feel that this artist that I chose for my buried treasure is pop adjacent. So I chose the artist. His name is Kevin Atwater. He is based out of New York City, and he's a singer-songwriter. He also plays guitar and piano. And according to Kevin, his influences range from his folk idols like Joni Mitchell and Nick Drake to more contemporary artists like Moses Sumney and Phoebe Bridgers. And I would also add that in some of his other songs, I hear elements of Elliott Smith and also Sufjan Stevens. So there's definitely a melancholy undertone, but I would even say that it's more the bittersweetness as well as the guitar playing. I think he's a great guitar player as well. And something that he said about himself was that he writes queer music with no hesitation or shame. And I appreciate that about his work, because the songs that he released, a lot of them are, you know, hinging on the theme of queer love stories and the elements of that shame that other people might feel about it. And the song that I wanted to play is about that. It's called Star Tripping. And I think that the thematic elements are really strong. You know, the lyrics, we could get in trouble for this. It could all be over with the drape of a wrist. So kind of an allusion to if someone finds out that, you know, in particular, this guy that he's hooking up with is more religious and is very nervous about acting on how he's feeling.
Yeah, don't let the world see who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right, right. Thing. And the idea that he's falling for someone who thinks that loving is a sin, like this idea, I think, thematically is really interesting. And I also think the song shows off Kevin's sense of melody, as well as he harmonizes with himself often, and he kind of layers himself. And I think that adds such a beautiful, rich depth to his songs. So this is Star Tripping by Kevin Atwater.
Baby, what did you say?
Alex Claiborne's buried treasure, Kevin Atwater, star tripping. You know, pop adjacent, Alex says. I mean, I had it pegged as really sensitive indie folk rock, right? But hey, in a world where his pal, Phoebe Bridgers, is opening for Taylor Swift, what is the word pop in 2023?
Yeah, well, and I thought there was an interesting vibe to that track. It's, mm-hmm. it's buoyant, but it's sort of airy too. It's not oppressive. You know, sometimes these refrains get a little bit like 10,000 watt, you know, mega church kind of thing. And this was just kind of cool and airy. I just love the vibe.
Yeah, good stuff from Alex Claiborne. We will be back with more buried treasures in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing new music that we're excited about and I think you need to hear. Now let's throw it to our Columbia College intern, Lauren Holt. Lauren, what have you got for
us? Okay, so my pick, song that I just can't stop listening to is The Wisdom of Silence by Buster Williams. So this is from his recent album called Unalum, which I was really curious about that name. So I was like, what is Unalum? So I read that it refers to a Buddhist symbol representing individual transcendence and the path to enlightenment over the course of one's life. And so I thought, okay, this kind of is helping me to make sense of this mysterious and transcendental vibe that I'm getting from this. And I'm like, why do I love this so much? It's just intriguing. Like from those first opening bass notes, that mellow, calming vibraphone, which I'd never even heard of before. It's not a xylophone. It's a vibraphone. Who knew? Okay, that's cool.
I will take you to the music store and we'll play around with a vibraphone.
Thank you.
The Deegan Company was based for decades. I mean, I think they still have an outlet here. It's a xylophone that's plugged in.
Okay.
Electric.
Okay, I was what is this sound?
I've always wanted one for Christmas, you know?
Yeah. It's just like this mellow, calming, eerie thing, and then it goes into that little piano moment right before we're hit with those sultry, soft vocals and this vibraphone. I just don't think this piece would be the same without Stephen Harris's playing, also the piano, the drums. I guess there's some flute in there, but I can't pinpoint it. It just... it all comes together for this beautiful, like, mesmerizing 4 minutes and 54 seconds. I just love it. I love it. The only thing I wish is that the ending wasn't so unfinished and we got more. Like, I could use 3 more minutes of this, but I just keep...
Or just yeah. Hit it on... it will make a loop. Yeah, we'll show you
exactly.
How to make a loop.
I just go back and just rewind it, and that's fine. I just keep listening to it. So, yeah, that's my...
Lauren's a fan. I love it. I love having that burst of cool jazz.
She doesn't
want
to just produce radio shows. She wants to produce music. She wants to be in that studio with the guy and go, Buster, you got to stretch this out a little bit more. Give me 3 minutes more of that vibe.
Yeah, but you got to learn the vibraphone
exactly.
First.
That's right.
Great pick from Lauren. Buster Williams, The Wisdom of Silence. Were you hip to Buster?
Oh, my God. You know, I thank you for playing Buster Williams, Lauren, because I'm actually a huge fan. His 70s work, he's all over a bunch of records that I have from the 70s when I started investigating Herbie Hancock's career. And one of my favorite Herbie Hancock records is the Sextent record. I listen to that all the time, and I actually had a conversation with Tom York of Radiohead about it once, and he was a big fan as well. I go, there's an influence on you guys. And he goes, absolutely. Anyway, Buster Williams is playing on that record, and I think he's just a genius, and I'm really cool. It's really cool that you picked this track. It's beautiful. Speaking of veteran acts, Buster Williams is himself a giant of jazz, and I think Gina Birch is a giant of alternative music, if you want to call it that. I don't think she would have called it alternative. She would have just said, we're forming a band in late 70s England with two of my pals. And that band was called The Raincoats. And people may remember that band from Kurt Cobain couldn't stop talking about them. He
Big
loved
fan.
The Raincoats. And for good reason. They were, even to this day, they sound like an island unto themselves. They were part of the punk movement, part of the underground movement, but their sound was very much their own. Precursors of Riot Girl, you know, Slater Kinney, Bikini Kill, Pussy Riot, who gets mentioned on this record, you know, wouldn't exist without the Raincoats' influence. I kind of thought of them as a folk, dub, reggae, punk band. They
it's a lot of hyphens.
Different styles of music. Gina was a songwriter, vocalist, and bassist in that group, and lo and behold, at age 67, she's finally gotten around to releasing her first
67.
Solo album.
Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I play my bass loud. Indeed you do, Gina. This song is about a mission statement. Sometimes I wake up and I wonder, what is my job?
Mm.
Looking back how she found her voice. This is her looking back how she found her voice as a singer, a band leader, a bass player, and a person in a rock band that didn't sound like anybody else. I play my bass loud, Gina Birch, on Sound Opinions.
Sometimes I wake up and I wonder, what is my job? I play my bass loud.
I love that track. It just speaks to me in so many different ways.
That's the other one that got me this time from your batch here. I love it as well. Play my bass loud. You know, that I think Gina Birch ought to do shows with Rose Marshak of Poster Children.
Yeah, right.
Who just put out a book called
Absolutely.
Play It Like a Man. Greg, I'm going next to an artist named Marie Sue. Marie is M-A-R-I-E-E, and Sue is S-I-O-U, used to be With an X at the end of it.
Right, right.
She was born and raised in the Sierra Nevada foothills up in Northern California. Her dad was in a bluegrass band, several recordings out previously. This wonderful psychedelic folk sound. You know I'm a sucker for incredible string band and the more ethereal Sandy Denny tracks with Fairport mm-hmm. Convention, right? And she is capturing that vibe, but in a modern way on this new EP, which is absolutely great. She's talking about heavy stuff. You know, we've survived the pandemic. We've survived threats to the state of democracy. We are hoping to survive, some of us anyway, the burning of our planet. All of that's on Circle of Signs, this new EP. But there is a calming, kind of spiritual, deeply connected to the earth vibe as well. And lo and behold, that I'm reading on her bio, this song in particular that I'm going to play, Snake Hoop, was inspired by an ayahuasca ceremony. You know, sit in the teepee and eat the magic mushrooms. I'm always down for that. I just love this song. It's got a vibe unlike any other. Snake Hoop by Mary Sue.
Grains of spirit winnowed infinitely through time. Greet the end with open arms, my friend. There you might find tail in your teeth, snake hoop flowering with the vine. Tail in your teeth, snake.
Marie or Marie Sue. I'm not quite sure how to say her name. It's an interesting spelling. Did that one grab you?
I thought I thought it was just like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This is not Jim DeRogatis. Who is this guy that picked this track?
I've got my
ayahuasca so uncharacteristic of you.
That's not true.
Not that I'm saying the track is bad or anything. I'm just saying, like, I'd never expected you to pick a track like this.
Well, I haven't told you, but we're going to have a Sound Opinions team building ayahuasca ceremony.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks for the heads up. I appreciate that.
Out in nature, but not too nature. Okay. It's like maybe the backyard, because without concrete underfoot, I get a little antsy. That's it for this installment of Buried Treasures, but we're always eager to hear contenders that our listeners have. Leave us a message on soundopinions.org.
That is a little bit of Bella and Sebastian with a song called Seymour Stein.
Appropriately enough.
Yeah, and not a bashing song. They're not bashing Seymour Stein. Seymour Stein, who died recently, April 2nd to be precise, at age 80. Maybe not a household name. He was a music company executive, which usually gets everybody going, oh boy, no, really? No, this guy was the real deal, Jim, in terms of signing artists. They talk about having great ears, being able to understand music that's going to be popular or important before its time. Seymour Stein was the epitome of that, one of the last great record company men. You know, when you talk about the 20th century music business, I think Stein embodied the best aspects of it in many ways in terms of his ability to sign bands ahead of their time. We're talking about artists like the Ramones, Talking Heads, Richard Hell and the Voidoids, the Pretenders, the Replacements, Depeche Mode, the Smiths, the Cure, the Ministry, the Undertones, Echo and the Bunnymen. He also signed Madonna.
Madonna. Not only did Seymour hear me, Madonna said, but he saw me and my potential. For that, I will be eternally grateful.
And the flip side of that, Jim, you know, Madonna obviously was a huge hit, you know, but at the time, nobody knew who she was. She literally showed up in his hospital room while he was recovering and played him a song on her boombox.
Yep.
And he goes, I want to sign this person.
Yep.
And he did. And launched the career of Madonna in 1982.
Think about how much money that chance encounter generated, ultimately.
Yeah, incredible, right? I mean, for all parties involved.
For everyone. Madonna did well, Seymour did well, and certainly the record industry, as it used to exist, did very well.
And, you know, considering that here's a gentleman who came up in the 60s, you know, record business. He was a lifer. He started as a teenager working for record companies and working his way up until he founded Sire Records, which is the home for many of the artists we just mentioned.
We had our friend Ben Cesario on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about Ticketmaster, and Ben wrote a beautiful obit for the New York Times. I learned all sorts of stuff I didn't know. Number one, that Seymour Stein's real name was Seymour Steinbigel.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, that when he was mentored by a record industry producer, and his dad was skeptical that young Seymour would have a career, you know, the producer said, listen, your son has got shellac in his veins. I love that quote. Records used to be made of shellac. And finally, that Sire, Greg, it was Seymour Stein and the producer Richard Gotterer that formed Sire. Mm-hmm. And they took the first two letters of each of their given names, S-E-R-I, and rearranged it. And that's where Sire came from. I love that.
Yeah. No, he was... you know, groundbreaking in so many ways, including, you know, he signed Ice-T in 1987. Yeah. The West Coast really wasn't on the hip-hop map at the time,
nope.
You know, but he sort of got that whole West Coast scene energized by signing Ice-T. You know, Ice-T was going, are you kidding me? You know?
You want me, huh?
But he related to the guy and ended up signing with Seymour Stein and launched an incredible career.
They didn't handle the cop killer controversy too well, but such was the music industry.
Well, and it was interesting because I wanted to see what Ice-T, because I'd visited with Ice-T during this period of time, and he said, you know, it was pretty remarkable that they took a chance on an artist like me, and I didn't expect it to last as long as it did. And then he had some really nice comments about Stein the other day, you know, where he complimented him for basically getting him started. He said, I'd still be in central Los Angeles, you know, if it hadn't been for Stein, because nobody was looking at West Coast artists at that time in the hip hop realm.
No,
hip hop in general.
The thing
was ignored
that,
by
that
the major.
Seymour
label.
Showed up. I mean, he was going to those venues that Ice-T was playing. He was showing up regularly at CBGB. You know, he was there. He showed up. He listened.
Absolutely. And, you know, when Stein was, I had a long conversation with him a few years ago. Got to spend like a couple of hours with him in the green room before we actually had the formal conversation in front of an audience in Chicago. And he was talking very sincerely about, you know, music's not a luxury. I wrote down some things. Music's not a luxury. It's not whimsical. It's a necessity. He said, I felt that way my entire life. Like, people need this in their lives. And I think he reacted accordingly with the kind of artists he was looking for. He wasn't just looking to move the needle commercially. He was looking to move the culture. He was looking to advance the culture. He was looking to expand people's lives. And it's really difficult, as we discussed with the university professor a few weeks ago about, you know, why do people check out of music at a certain age? You know, age 25 seems to be the falling off point where people just stop listening. Seymour Stein was listening to his last days
life.
On earth,
yeah.
You know. So we want to point you in the direction of our bonus podcast. I did an extensive interview with Seymour Stein years ago that we broadcast in 2018, and now we're bringing it back in honor of Seymour Stein, dead at the age of 80. But man, oh man, oh man, that music that he left us with, the legacy that he with Sire Records and on is going to continue to influence lives decades from now.
You're not kidding, Mr. Cott. Leave us a voice message on soundopinions.org with your thoughts, if you have them, on Seymour Stein or anything we talked about on this show, like these listeners did.
New messages. Hey, Greg. Hey, Jim. This is Phil from D.C., formerly the bass player in Tuscadero. Love the show. Please keep up the good work. The Poster Children, one of my favorite bands of all time. My Junior Citizen t-shirt is one of my most cherished possessions locked away for posterity. When I was in Tuscadero starting out, our very first tour was the Teen Beat Circus Tour in 1994. Four bands leaving out of D.C., 17 people. We all slept on the floor of Rose's apartment, every single one of us. We were crammed in there like sardines. And I learned so much from Rose and the Poster Children about how to be in a band and about the business of music. And I remember they had the first website of any band that I ever knew. So they were really on the cutting edge. Anyways, I can't wait to read that book, and thanks for having them on.
I will follow every step to eyes
Hey guys, thought maybe, I'm not sure if you talked about this dude, Jay Paul, it's spelled J-A-I Paul. He's like this Indian British guy who has this sort of cult following where he used to release one song a year every day on the same day every year. And like, he would be just this masterfully produced, luscious soundscapes. And at some point, like somebody stole his laptop and released everything on it, and it was all these like unfinished masterpieces, and he like was just devastated. And there's an interesting backstory, and it seems like it could be an interesting expose for you guys to do. His music is really wonderful and just complex and diverse. And
I wanted to give a shout out to Terry Hall, who died in late December of 2022. He was a lead singer of The Specials, a two-tone movement, very important movement out of Coventry, England. They existed from 79 through the 80s, or late 70s through the 80s. They were a band that promoted racial equality. They talked about social and political issues. They wrote the song Gangster, which is pretty famous here and there, and brought Margaret Thatcher to task. They were amazing. So if you get a chance to shout out to him, that would be awesome. Thank you for your show.
Here to let you know about Cave Town. They just dropped a new album called Worm Food. It's so deliciously good. You will get sucked in and sent to heaven with this album. It's so beautiful and gorgeous and soothing and like just profound. And this person is, if you don't know about him, he's trans and his parents are professional musicians from England. But anyway, go listen to it. It's amazing. Oh my gosh.
They all said put that thing back where it belongs. Jokes on you. I don't believe.
No more messages.
Thank you, listeners, for sharing your opinions with us. Mr. Cott, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we are going to celebrate a great band, 11th Dream Day, on their 40th anniversary.
Man.
Back at an incredible career. Not a household name, but a band that more people should know about. And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Lauren Holt, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.